So for the tickets, guys, I mentioned it in the hour number one. I'll mention it one more time here in hour number two. Get your tickets with Jacob Sports for the home opener, 267-261-3428. We got five of them left. Come on, guys. I don't want to go to the weekend without these suckers sold out. We got to fill these up, Jacob Nation. I told Savvy Seats the deal would be done. They said, come on, man, $100. Get these into the game. Are Eagle fans fired up for the season, or are they teetering on the edge? I'm like, I don't know, Savvy. They might be teetering on the edge. So we will see what happens there. Good stuff from everybody doing it today. John, as the Eagles continue to roll through the offseason here, all right, what is next for this team? Week one of free agency was this week. We just talked about Goddard. I don't think we need to be redundant there. But how does this week change your perspective on the NFL draft? How did it change your perspective on the rest of talent acquisition season, as Howie Roseman calls it? It doesn't end in March, like he likes to remind us.
Not much, because you still have, you know, second wave of free agency to come as they try to draft proof the roster. But the one position I've sort of put out of my mind, at least till day three, is corner with Reek Woolen. And now you bring in a veteran backup as well. So that's the one position that I think you can kind of cross off in the draft early. You know, anything's possible in day three because you're just taking the best players. But when you got to be a little bit more targeted, because there were people, I've seen a stunning amount of mock drafts that had the Eagles taking a corner, which I always thought was insane. And
we'll get that.
It certainly is insane now with Woolen here, and now you have a backup as well. So I don't think they're going to go corner. That's about the only thing that's changed. Ebikadi's not going to, you know, they're still looking for a headliner as a pass rusher. That's not going to affect anything. Johnny Munt's not going to affect anything. They're still will consider a tight end if they can get one. So he's a draft-proof guy. So, you know, everything's still in play, I would say, except corner.
I think you're right about that. I don't know why I saw so many corner, John. I didn't really understand that, the mock drafts with corners. I'm like, did you listen to the general manager told you he's pretty happy with the cornerback room? I don't think he's going to draft a corner at the top of the NFL draft. But we will see. Not quite draft-proof yet, though, right, John? I mean, they definitely got some work to do still. Yeah.
You saw how many players they signed last year on one-year deals. And that's already started with – and that'll continue. You know, the Eagles, Howie does a better job at draft-proofing than most teams. So when you talk about guys like Munt and Jonathan Jones specifically, you know, they're here to...
I'll be honest. This summer is stacked. Between that one big international soccer tournament, America's 250th anniversary, and the Route 66 Centennial... people are going to be traveling. What a lot of folks don't realize is that taking a trip in an RV is a whole heck of a lot more enjoyable than TSA lines or stodgy hotels. And you don't even have to own an RV or drive one to take part. With Outdoorsy, you can rent an RV or camper almost anywhere in the country. You can drive it, tow it, or have it delivered and set up for you. And these aren't bare-bones setups. Many come with full kitchens, bathrooms, showers, and real beds. It's often more affordable than hotels, especially for families or groups. And everything includes insurance, 24/7 support, and roadside assistance. If you're thinking about a summer trip or just planning ahead for the rest of 2026, get 10% off when you book using promo code OUTDOORSY2026. Head to OUTDOORSY.com. That's OUTDOORSY.com, promo code OUTDOORSY2026.
So you don't feel the need, I have to take a tight end, I have to take a cornerback. You don't feel that need.
Good stuff, John. That's what you want to do. And right on cue, I have to chuckle at this. My guy Rich Nutt says, at least we're not talking about A.J. Brown. Thank you, Xander. Rich, you might want to put us on mute for the next 60 seconds, all right? I got to do the weekly check-in here. John?
By the way, Have any of those people, since we'll talk about AJ Brown, I mean, there's pretty significant acknowledgement out there that he doesn't want to be here. I mean, you know, and
then we do have some people in the chat who think that it's all a lie, that AJ has never said he doesn't want to be here. It's all media made, John. It's all media made.
What? Really? Really?
Yeah. We have people in this chat right now who believe.
No, I'm not claiming you. I know they exist. I'm like, what do you need? What more do you need? What is the Bass Wing conspiracy that I'm there with Albert Breer or anybody else? I know people like to pick on Diana, who's been right every step of the way. What is the fucking conspiracy? His agent's out in Indianapolis. He's given a list of teams. Give it up, man. Give it up. You look foolish. We all love AJ. I love him. He doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to play in this style of offense. Period. Stop. Full stop. And the Eagles are stubborn. And they shouldn't trade him from a business standpoint. But when you start talking about post-June 1st, do you really want somebody, again, the Mike Tomlin quote, great quote, do you really want the hostage or do you want the volunteer? Ask yourself that question. Because he doesn't want to play in this offense.
Where's your meter? The updated John McMullen meter.
Well, he's not getting traded in this window, but I don't think he'll be here week one. I don't think he'll be here week one. I don't think the Eagles want to go through it again. He's not going to be happy. I mean, it is what it is. And I'm of the belief, and again, I like AJ a lot personally. I'm of the belief that, look, the quarterback is the most important part of the team. I think it's insane already the way the Eagles have started going down this route to try to turn him into something he isn't. And I hope it's not the case. You build around the strengths of your quarterback. And that means you're going to run the football a lot, and that means you're only going to throw it 25, hopefully, times a game. Sometimes, you know, you're going to have a spike, and you're going to need to throw it 40 times, and yada, yada, yada. We know all the context, but it's going to be a run-first offense. It's going to be a plus-one designed offense, hopefully. And if you want to turn them into Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins and put them under center and play action, good fucking luck. Good luck with that. Dumb, but good luck.
Any updated information you were able to gather this week on AJ Brown with everything happening in the NFL this week?
New? No, it's been the same way for a long time. He'd be gone. If there were no salary cap ramifications, he'd already be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the howie hooey about, you know, the guy's trying to create new rules, as Brandon Lee. What more do you want?
Well, that just means Howie's doing. That means Howie's being a good GM. I like it, Howie. Good job.
I really don't understand those people who think we're making it up. I really don't. Like, what is the end game? Like, why do we care? I mean.
I hear you. Good stuff there, Johnny Mac. Appreciate everybody being here today. Let's go to some chats from the great people of Jacob Nation. There he is, Rich Nutt. Again, Rich, I just got to one of your other comments, and I will get to this one now. Member for 19 months. Thank you, Rich. He says this, you know, I'm a daily listener, and thank you, J-Mac. If you were guessing, when might we hear about a Carter extension? One more. Give me a percentage on Grenard. Two good questions from Rich Nutt. Rich, thank you, brother. Carter extension.
I mean, timing. Timing's so always difficult because the Eagles want to get it done. You know, part of the reason, this early, they're obviously trying to make it as team-friendly as possible. Drew Rosenhaus knows that he didn't have his best season. And if he comes back and proves he's healthy and plays at the level he played in 2024, going to break the bank and set every defensive tackle record. So do you want to go down that route, or do you want the – how much money do you really need, or do you want the security of getting the big money now? That's basically – it's a two-way street. I think people forget that. The Eagles don't just walk into the Jefferson Health Training Complex and say, this is the day, we want to get it done. So he has to want to get it done, and the Eagles will make him the highest paid defensive tackle in the history of football. And they will set the market, but they don't want to set it too high. They want to set it to where the next guy passes it. They don't want to go Micah Parsons, is what I'm saying. They don't want to go Tyler Linderbaum, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's where Drew Rosenhaus wants to go.
Exactly.
So it's a little bit more complicated than I think people think.
So what does Drew want? 38, 36, 40? What the fuck does he want?
Yeah, I think he wants to explode the market like he's Micah Parsons and Tyler Linderbaum.
Well, then the player has to play better more consistently. I mean, the player's obviously great, but yeah. Micah Parsons didn't get a $46 million deal.
Maybe that's the case with my Tyler Linderbaum isn't the best.
Now, that's one. That one I agree with you. I don't know how the heck he ended up that high.
He's not the best center in football. So, no, I mean, not. But the Eagles are also not the Raiders, and they're not going to do that. So, there's still some work to be done, but they're working on it. I can tell you that. There was a very cognizant effort to make people know that Jalen Carter was there during Jordan Davis's extension press conference, because those trade sort of rumblings leaked out. And so there was a concerted effort to point out that everything's fine. And they are working on it, but yeah, it's a little bit more difficult than I think people realize. It's not just about the Eagles saying we want to extend them. They do want to extend them, but you got to figure out where it ends up. And I think I ultimately will. Percentage on Grenard, there's like 10 teams in on Grenard. So again, there's other people at play. And you would think, because of where the Eagles are, that some of the draft capitals, similar to Max Crosby, right? Like, if the Eagles were willing to give up two first-round picks for Max Crosby, and they weren't, but if they were, they weren't going to win anyway, because they started 23 and Baltimore had 14. So which deal are you taking? One of those 10 teams, if they're really interested, and some of those teams have probably dropped off because they've probably gone other routes and gotten edge rushers. So I don't know the number right now. But odds are one of them has better draft capital to offer than the Eagles. So I would put it under 50%, because there's so many teams. But as time goes on and these some of those other teams make other decisions and go in different directions, that makes it more likely. I don't see a lot of other options for the Eagles at this stage other than the draft. So I think they'll try to get it done, but it'll come down. Like, I'm sure the Eagles want to give up their third round pick, the Jets pick. So can Minnesota get a better pick from somebody else? That's what it comes down to. But I do think he's going to get traded.
We'll see what ends up happening. Rich Nutt, thanks for the great question, brother. Appreciate it. Here is Mr. Hill. What's up, Mr. Hill? He says, if Bay is there at 23, do we take him? And I can't for the life of me figure out who he's talking about, John.
Bay? Who's Bay?
I don't know. I have no clue. I'm like, am I a dumbass? Am I not doing my research properly? Who the hell are we talking about here?
Yeah, you're going to have to clarify.
Mr. Hill, please clarify in the chat. I will get back to your question. Thank you, brother. Here is Steve. What's up, Steve? Didn't the Eagles just sign defensive end Arnold Ebiketie? Yes, they did. We talked about it in the opening segment, Steve. Ebiketie has landed. It's a one-year, $7 million, a little bit more than $7 million deal with about $4.3 million, I think was the guaranteed money for Arnold Ebiketie. So he landed in Eagle with Philly today. I think he's going to be a good depth edge rusher for the team.
Yeah, I think it's I like it. I like it. I've talked about him for a long time. We said in the opening segment. So rewind it. I imagine you and the powers that be will clip it at some point. But I think he's a very good upside signing. He's got a lot of gifts, got about athletic gifts, very Howie-like. They liked him in the draft in 2022. That was the Jordan Davis draft. And Cam Jurgens, but he went, they were in no man's land. He went 38th. Cam went 51st. So they weren't really close. But yeah, he's got some upside. But what he isn't is a meaningful answer to the issue. So a lot of people have said, does this take them out of Grenard? Or no, absolutely not. Or even a first round pick. He's more of a rotational edge rusher. And if he works out that he's their fourth in the rotation, that's pretty damn good.
I'll tell you what, John, if the Eagles aren't able to land Grenard, I have a hard time believing they won't go edge rusher in round one. I mean, how are they going to look past that for a, you know,
I don't like the spot. They're going to have to go up. I don't like the spot. But you know, they might, just cause I don't like the options, that doesn't mean they don't. Like I think Falk's going top 15 now. So if Bailey's off the board, he's going to be off the board. Reese is off the board. Bain is off the board. And I don't think the Eagles would draft him because of his short arms. Falk's off the board. Then you're down to Mesidor, Parker, Cassius Howell, maybe we'll make our Mizzou fan happy. Maybe Zion Young. Anybody you're in love with at 23?
Especially
right. I guess Cassius Howell would be my next guy.
I do like Keldrick Falk, but I'm with you. I don't think he's there.
So I'm not in love with anybody at that spot. I think it's a bad spot for an edge rusher in the first round, whereas it's a good spot for an offensive lineman. So can't force it. Maybe you got to go all the way to the freaking trade deadline next year to get your Jalen Phillips next year. And you got to put it together with Jalix Hunt, Nolan Smith, and Arnold Ebiketie and try to get somebody in season.
We'll see what they end up doing here. Mr. Hill finally gave us what he was talking about. He says, guys, my bad. I had NBA brain. I don't know what that means. Sadiq Bey. I meant tight end Sadiq out of Oregon at 23. My bad.
Yeah, Kenyon Sadiq. We did talk about him. I don't think they're going to take him. I don't think he's going to be at 23 anymore because of how well he tested, how good athletically he is. I'll tell you who I'm sorry. If you want to go out of the box, because I'm in love with the player. And they need a safety. Dylan
Downs, gotta be.
Well, no, he's gonna go. To Caleb Downs is gonna
he's be going top 10, I was gonna say.
Yeah. The kid from Oregon.
Yeah.
Dylan. He's gonna be there. Or he might be there. He might not, but you know, he's gonna go in the 20 to 25, 30 range. You know, he's gonna be in the conversation. That kid is phenomenal.
Too far-fetched for the Eagles to use their first on a safety?
Yeah, they never have. It is too far-fetched. But if you want to fix a issue, that'll fix your issue for years. But they're not going to do it. That's just a personal love of a particular player. Whoever gets him is going to be happy.
Yeah,
but Caleb Down, I mean, there's two players in this draft, two blue-chip players. Jeremiah Love, Caleb Downs. That's it.
Where do you think Love goes?
I think he's going pretty freaking high.
It's also a chance he falls too, right? Just because of the position and who's going to be willing to take a running. I don't know.
I don't think he's going to fall that much. In fact, I think he's going to go quicker than people expect.
Where do you think? Like top 10? Not top five, right?
Well, I think people said Kansas City signed
Kenneth Walker.
Thank you. And a lot of people had him, you know, the mocks had him going. I think Kansas City got kind of, because they know he's not going to be there. That's my personal belief. Because nobody's taking Kenneth Walker over Jeremiah Love. You should be ashamed of yourself if you think, because he won the Super Bowl, that's a better option. And even he was the MVP, obviously, but yada yada. Tennessee.
Well, the Raiders, Jets, Cardinals, Titans, and Giants are your top five picks. So I don't, obviously not Raiders. They're taking Mendoza. Jets at number two. I mean, this is what I like about the draft this year, John. Like, who's going to go number two?
They're going to take an edge rusher. I think they're going to take Reese, but they might take Bailey.
That kid is a fucking player, Arvell Reese.
It's kind of a tweener. That's the only thing about Arvell Reese.
True.
It's interesting to see where Sonny Styles go. I know we were talking to Ian last week, Ian Cummings. He's got him in his blue chip category. But, you know, he's an off-ball linebacker. So it'll be interesting to see if he can pull off the Devin White and go top 10.
How do you see Reuben Bain? I know he's got the short arms, but, man, that guy can play, man.
I agree, but I think he's going to have to be a three technique. I think he's got to move inside. So a little bit of a projection. I think he's a really good player. But, boy, he's going to get locked up by NFL tackle. Like big-time NFL. Like Lane Johnson, man. Oh, my God, dude. He will keep that guy locked up till the end of time. That is a real issue. If your arms are that short on the edge. But he's got tremendous explosion, and he can use that against centers and guards inside.
Right.
I think that's his future. But those big-time tackles, man, if they lock you up with their big frames and you don't have long arms, you're in trouble. That's why it's such a big deal in the NFL. And there's a lot of big-time tackles now.
The Chiefs are where, John? They pick like top 10, I think, right? Nine, I think it is?
Nine. I got to pull up that's what I was trying to pull up.
I know the Giants have the fifth overall pick. The Commanders are up there at the seventh pick, I believe.
Yeah, I got to look at the top. They just sent it out. I'm trying to look. I got too many emails, man. Here we go. NFL draft. All right. Las Vegas 1, Jets 2, Cardinals 3, Titans 4. That's who I'm predicting Love goes to, by the way, Titans. I don't think it's great for him, but I think they're going to take him. Giants 5, Browns 6, Commanders 7, Saints 8. They might take him too if he gets there. Chiefs 9, Bengals 10, Dolphins 11, Cowboys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's your top 12 picks. Eagles start at 23. Still think offensive line, the far most likely way the Eagles go, because there's a bunch of offensive linemen that are worthy of that spot. And the Eagles won't like them all, but they'll like somebody, because you have – the kid from Miami is going to go top 10. Fano, like I said, he's kind of up in the air. The other Utah kid, Caleb Lomu. The Eagles love Blake Miller and Monroe Freeling. I already know that for a fact. So they're going to be in the conversation. Proctor, I don't know if Proctor is or not, but he's going to be a first-round pick, I think. So you have all these names, and that's, and then the kid from Arizona State, how do you pronounce his name? I know Ian told me, but I forgot.
He's got a tough name. There's a couple of tough names here in the draft this year.
Ian Acker, however you pronounce it.
Ian nailed it. It like rolled off the tongue. I'm like, Ian, how do you practice that name at night, man? What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
So there's a crap load of offensive linemen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that I think might be in play for the first round. And so if you're playing the odds game, that's a good way to look at it.
Good stuff there. Mr. Hill, thank you, brother. A couple more super chats we got here today. Eduardo says, will there be a J-Mac sighting at the Jacob tailgate? He just referenced that a little bit ago, maybe.
Yeah, probably, depending on timing. I got to get logistics. Logistics are
the J-Mac will stop by the tailgate and then he'll pop in to cover the football game. That's probably how I expect it to go. So get there and maybe J-Mac will be down there. That'll be like your that'll be everybody's like bonus, you know, not sold in the bill of goods, but it's the add-on for everybody. The J-Mac appearance. I love it. Here's Ken Bone. What's up, man?
I need Colin. Colin Thompson used to be my security guard. I need Colin back.
Get Colin down there. He says, taking a tackle in the first is dumb, especially if Lane plays two more years. I'm going edge, wide receiver, or tight end. Sadiq would be the prize. He's going to ball out.
I don't agree.
I don't agree either. I mean, Ken, why do you think Lane's playing two more years is my question. I think Lane's got 1 year left. What do you project on that, John?
It's always up in the air, but obviously, yeah, coming off last season, I would say the only reason he's back this season is because he didn't like the way it ended last season. So I would say year by year is being kind, and I'm certainly not going to project 2 years. He goes completely healthy and he feels good and he's still playing at a high level. He played half the year last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to project 2 years, the Eagles can't do that. Same thing. They can't even do that with Landon Dickerson, who's 27 years old. So,
yeah, we didn't talk about that enough today. I know we did our show yesterday on it, but John, I thought
wide receiver doesn't enter the equation until they traded AJ Brown and, or when they trade AJ Brown. So you're going to have to presume that they are going to trade AJ Brown. Now, if they go into it and say, we're definitely trading him post June 1st, so we might as well take a wide receiver. I think it'd be more second round than first round, because again, the big time receivers, Tyson and Tate, are going to be long gone. Probably Mekhi Lemon as well. So those are the three that I think are going to be long gone. And then you're in the Chris Brazil, Denzel Boston area, which would be great in the second round, but I'm not taking him at 23. But then you got a bunch of good receivers that, Omar Cooper's coming in for a 30 visit, Zachariah Branch, Casey Concepcion, Chris Bell, Skylar Bell, bunch of receivers. Somebody will fall in the second round.
Yeah,
I agree. That's your wheelhouse.
I agree. That's the move there. We'll see what ends up happening with that. Ken, thank you, brother. We appreciate that. John, I wanted to real quick, I know we should have touched on a little bit more today. Kind of got lost in the show. We had a lot of good topics today. But Landon Dickerson, we did our show. We did a quick reaction segment to it yesterday on the channel. If you missed that, go check out that. But just kind of now that you've slept on it, John, and probably a little bit more context you've been able to gather, what is your takeaway from the Landon Dickerson modified extension? I don't know of any other time that I remember a player just removing the last year of their deal.
Oh, that happens quite a bit. When guys take pay cuts, happened to TJ Hockenson a couple of weeks ago.
Because why? They want to get to the open market quicker?
Yeah, exactly.
But that doesn't feel like the case here with Landon.
No, it doesn't feel like the case.
No, yeah, Landon's
different. But I'm just saying, it happens all the time.
People will get rid of the last year, but in the case of Landon, it might mean something different.
Yeah, that's all I meant to clarify. That giving up the last year is actually helpful for some players, like who take the pay cut and can get the money back. In Landon's case, look, it's all health, really. We all know it's all health, really. He doesn't know. Landon Dickerson doesn't know. He said it. He went on after the loss to San Francisco. He's like, I don't know. I don't know if basically how I'm going to feel. And he called the season shitty from a health perspective. He wasn't talking, you know, wasn't talking about the offense, or he meant how difficult it was to go through. So, you know, the Eagles know, then, and that's why I'm starting to talk about the Eagles have to have a contingency plan for Lane Johnson and Landon Dickerson. And I mean, like, right now. And they might have it, you know, if you think about guys like Drew Kendall and Willie Lampkin, who I know people are going to be excited about, if you can develop them. Remember, they're changing philosophies, too. So they want more athletic, speed-based offensive linemen who can reach block. I think Willie Lampkin's going to be a big story this spring and summer because he's such a, you know, I know how popular he was out in Los Angeles because he's so unique. You know, he's so short, but he's so athletic and so strong. Ed Kratz will tell you, former wrestler. Good guy, too, but very athletic. And if you're trying to reach block, Drew Kendall's, you know, he's a center mainly, but has cross-trained a guard. And then you have the old mentality would have been Stoutland, like, and we talked about it last year a little bit, was, well, can Cam Williams or Miles Hinton or even Holland Pierce move inside and play guard like Mekhi Becton? I don't think that's the way you should think about it anymore. So those guys are going to stay out of tackle. And maybe one of them can develop as well. They have a lot of young bodies who, but again, we don't know that much about Chris Cooper and if he's going to, and everything's changing, and so it's going to be an interesting story to follow. But when you have that first-round talent, it's a lot easier to sleep at night than if you're trying to develop a, you know, a day-three pick.
Good stuff there. We'll see what ends up happening. Here is one more super chat. This is a good one. I'm trying to think. Sig Lord says, trivia. Who led the NFL in all-purpose yards last season? I guessed Bijan, Christian McCaffrey, or Kevontae Turpin.
Yeah, you tend to look at the running backs who catch the football as well. Or if you're going to count, are you counting just running and receiving, or are you counting kick returns?
Yeah, because if you count returns, that's going to be a completely different. That's why I put Turpin.
I assume he means just rushing and receiving.
Sig says all wrong, so all my names were wrong.
Well, who was the top of the Smith and Jigba? Because he had so much receiving yards.
Yeah, I don't think so, though. I mean, didn't Christian McCaffrey have 1,000 each on things?
Almost. Yeah, almost. All he purpose, didn't quite, Sig says. He didn't quite get 1,000.
Here's the other guy I was wondering, Chimari, what's that guy's name? Chimari Dikey or Dikey, or I don't know how to say his fucking name. Is that who it is? I could see that being it. He's the Titans guy, right?
Yeah. Well, is he counting kick? How do we know?
He's counting. I think he's counting kick. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, who cares then, I would say. I don't care about kick return.
Yeah, that's it. Sig says that's correct. That's it. That's the name. How do you pronounce that last name?
Cameron Dikey, I think, right? Chimari Dikey, I think.
Come on, Chimari. That's a tough name to hit, all right? All right, couple minutes left. Sig, thanks for the fun.
You're bringing up a 423 receiving guy who had 1,588 kick return yards. Like, who cares? That's why I said, are you counting kick returns? Which, you know, to me, it's all purpose means rushing and receiving. And then it's would be who you it would probably be McCaffrey. Depending,
I think Bijan was higher than McCaffrey last year.
Bijan. Yeah.
Bijan this year. Let me look. Yeah, Bijan at 2298. He was
here. Oh, it's probably Bijan. And Bijan's
150 ahead of McCaffrey.
And Bijan's the, you know, probably the standard right now, I would say, a running back, even though plays a where in a team where people might not recognize it, but the NFL recognizes it.
Yeah. All right, John. Good show, man, today. I think we covered a lot. Maybe we'll be talking again later today after the Dallas Goedert news comes down. But
well, we better do it at midnight.
Yeah, they probably will. They probably will. I thought we recapped week one of free agency pretty well today, you know, with everything that who came, who went. Ebiketie signed last night, or Ebiketie. You know, they signed the cornerback, obviously, also yesterday. What's his name? Blank of Jonathan Jones. Tariq Woolen, we recapped. The Landon Dickerson reworked contract. Calcaterra and Johnny Munt. The Jordan Davis.
Never enough Johnny Munt talk. Johnny Munt cake talk. I love Johnny Munt.
There you go. Little John's a Johnny Munt guy. John, your final thoughts here on week one of free agency in the NFL. A lot changed in the NFL landscape this week, my friend.
Well, the Eagles just happy birthday to Jalix Hunt.
There you go.
Jalix Hunt's birthday today. So he turns 25. Big part of it, man. 34 3/8 length arms, arm length for Jalix Hunt. There's your guy.
What are Ruben
Jalix Hunt turn into?
John, what are Ruben Bain's arms compared to Hunt's?
Let me look up Ruben real quick. Boy, I don't know. I saw a picture of him. I thought people were photoshopping it. They were so small.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, but I don't know
if in college, like literally watching him every week, he was a fucking stud in college, dude.
All right, let me look it up
real quick. That's why I thought he was going to be a top five pick.
No, he's definitely a stud in college. I mean, nobody's.
No, I know you're not denying that. I'm just saying, like, when I watched him, I remember being like, oh, he's going to be a top five pick. But, you know how it gets, the combine, and then they start to break down everything, and they learn everything about your life and your history and your past.
Well, it's not even that. Like, they already knew. So his arm length, remember, what did I say Jalix Hunt was?
34 3/8 or something? Yeah.
30 7/8.
Ruben 30 7/8. So he's got 4 inches less.
I'm telling you, man. Three technique, Ruben Bain.
Might be right. We'll see what happens. Johnny Mac, great show. I assume we're going to talk later today, though, J-Mac. They got what are they waiting for with this Goddard deal? Why would Goddard not go to free agency if they're not getting a deal done? Come on.
It's a good question. Good question. Maybe look for a move to athletes first. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Time to get a new agent. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
But. Call up Drew, man. Call up Drew Rosenhaus. He's getting
make
he's
a lot of sense. Dude.
Hey.
Make a lot of sense. By the way, we should have. Did you see, Reed? They did Exciting Mice. Did you see he talked about his free agency? Yeah.
Reed did. Yeah. Somebody wanted us to talk about the Jalen Hurts kids book. Did you see that? He's on the tour promoting the kids book.
I did see it. Good for Jalen. But yeah, we're a football show.
I don't care either. But good for him is right. I agree. All right, John. Good show, my man. I will catch you. I think we're talking later today. I'm putting the over under on us talking later today at around 80%. I think we're talking later today.
All right. You know, again, it's going to have to be late considering how he wants to fuck us all every day.